Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Oh my gosh, I can't keep up with the news. I can't keep up with my text messages. I can't keep up with my emails. Stuff is flying so fast. The Democrats, it's just sort of like hell has loosened all of its goons. And it's unbelievable. I mean, it seems as though in the spirit world, we have to be racing towards the end, or we're racing towards something incredibly cataclysmic, because the demonic forces are just unleashed inside this government. This government that is being run by dark, shadowy places by people who aren't elected, people whispering in each other's ears and telling them what to do. I mean, I don't even want to go through everything going on with Biden, who got forced out, or they're going to do the 25th Amendment on him. He got pushed out. Kamala Harris, goodness sakes, I'll tell you, she is an emissary from hell. Stupid, really dumb, evil. She has never, ever, actually, ever performed in any function to which she has been promoted. Okay. Vice president, complete abject failure. You want to know what she's like? Look at what Biden did. That's Kamala Harris. Want to look at her as a senator? She couldn't keep a staff. She yells and got, I mean, she was especially hard on her black assistants. She wanted to be called a general. Wouldn't let certain people look her in the eye. She's an authoritarian. Right down in, when you get right down to it, she is Jezebel. She's making Hillary Clinton look like, I don't know, Princess somebody. I don't know, I'm trying to think of somebody here. I'm trying, Dorothy, the Wizard of Oz. Okay, there we go. Make it look like Dorothy, the Wizard of Oz. This is how evil this woman is. And the speed with which she was, I mean, she went from a bungling, incompetent bozo brain to, in 24 hours, the anointed and the appointed, somehow the anointed cherub, that's a reference actually to Satan, but worthy of all deference and honor, which she wants to be worshipped. Oh my gosh. This woman, I had no idea she was really as bad as she is. And you put the rise of the evil in, well, you know what? The evil has been there. It's a manifestation of the evil in this country. Has just reached a fever pitch. I mean, AP, the Associated Press, telling what about big queer affair was at the Olympics with, oh my gosh, the trannies, the guys in the high heels, making a mockery of the Last Supper, all of the stuff which you've heard about, and you probably don't want to hear any more about it, but screw France. I don't want to go there, ever. Forget it. Paris, you suck. I know Mitt Romney calls it the most beautiful city in the world, and he thought it was a beautiful opening ceremony. That tells you something about Mitt, doesn't it? The Associated Press saying it was fabulous, blah, blah, blah. It's all about diversity, inclusion, and equity, and, oh, stop that garbage. You know, I just had a thought. Yep, shocked you. I actually just had a thought. Can somebody there tell me what the difference is between diversity and inclusion? Aren't they the same thing? This just dawned on me. I mean, it's repetitious. Diversity is having a lot of people included, and inclusion would be a lot of diversity. They're the same stinking sorry things. I don't, gosh, this is an epiphany. Well, I said that I would start with good news. I don't know if I really have it. I don't know. Maybe I just have to apologize. I don't have something other than the fact that God's word is true. God's word never changes. And if you aren't spending some time every single day in God's word, you're blowing, wasting some of your day. Absolutely wasting some of your day. I think I'm on, I'm not, I won't say this to brag, I think I'm on, I've kind of lost track, somewhere between my 20th and 22nd, I'll say 21st time through the Bible. Keep learning and picking up stuff, all of which is relevant to today. But to lighten things only a tad, I will give you a Babylon Bee headline. Sodom and Gomorrah are set to host the 2028 Olympics. Boy, is that not the truth? I'm not criticizing people who watch your opening ceremonies. I'm not criticizing people who are glued to the TV sets. I have not once watched one single second, not a second, of the Olympics, and I don't want to see it. I don't want to be caught up in sports when the world is going to hell in a handbasket around us at breakneck speed, and people, and the Olympic Committee says, oh, we're really, really sorry we offended people with the opening ceremonies. Well, I had a queer who was directing that whole thing. What do you expect out of a French queer, right? Sorry, France. Europe. Boy, oh boy. I guess you can find some place to go there for vacation. I don't know. I've never been there, and I don't really have any desire to go. Okay, Sodom and Gomorrah set to host. Of course, this is satire, but they're going to say is that they've done their homework. The world is ready for a fully queer Olympics, queer at every stage, and nobody gets to say anything against it. And goodness sakes, whether it's NewsGuard, I will tell you, the censorship has gone overload on this. And that's why I said last week, if we lose this election, it is over. You know that. It's over. Unless, no matter how bad it is, somehow Vivek Ramaswamy is on the ticket in 2028. That's all I got. Otherwise, I want to post-haste start moving towards states leaving the union. Okay, Cammie, you can spend all you want, but we aren't helping pay that debt. You can cancel all the stinking stupid loan things. So all the people who didn't go to college or ones who have been out of college for a long time, we get to pay for the ne'er-do-wells delinquency on their student loans. Forget them. They get a crappy education from a crappy institution, make crappy decisions about their major, and make crappy decisions about borrowing tons of money, and then expect us to bail them out. Too bad, so sad. Well, I'm going to have to tell you, there is another prediction I made that did just come through. I had indicated last week that you will see, if the one of two things will cause Barack Hussein Obama, who is a puppeteer, pulling the puppet strings behind Biden, behind Harris, you name it. I think Newsom would have challenged Harris if it weren't for the fact that Obama was behind her, but I said there were two things which will trigger him coming out and endorsing her. Number one, she flails. I mean, she just crashes and burns. And who knows, maybe we are, or maybe she is. The media is just such a pack of liars. I mean, Joe Biden, oh, we were flying home because he's got some COVID. Bull crap. He didn't have COVID, or if he did, it was immaterial. He had something else. They have lie and cover, take everything the left says, and just do the opposite. This is how you know what truth is. Listen to what Harris says, and you just know the opposite of the truth. The opposite is the truth. She's projecting. What she does and is guilty of is what she calls others guilty of. Case in point. She's out yesterday calling Trump and Vance disloyal to the United States. Why did she say that? Because she doesn't have one loyal bone in her body. She's simply a turd in the punch bowl of life. She is a most un-American person, the worst president. Yes, last week I said she isn't, and she really isn't. She's just Obama 3.0. It's just that she can come out and say these things now where Obama couldn't get away with it and Biden could get away with a little more of it. And over time, the press has become more and more linked to the left. They are the left. They're not just linked. They are the left. It's an incestuous relationship between people like the weenie George Stephanopoulos and others that, sorry, I'm doing a little name calling. And you know what? I was going to apologize this week for last week. using the term faggot. I was going to apologize. I'm just not sure I'm ready to do that now. Especially since Cammie is talking about having Pete Buttigieg as the vice presidential candidate. Do you know who her the two choices among Democrats by latest polling are for the VP? Newsom. There's a problem constitutionally because he and Harris are from the same state. And I don't think Newsom is going to be a VP. I think it's beneath him. Even though he started life running the parking meter division of city of San Francisco. Nonetheless, I don't think he would do that because of pride. But number two is Pete Buttigieg. Can you imagine this? The queer-friendly, maniacal, cackle-like a ravenous, rabid something, hyena. That's what she sounds like, a rabid hyena. Doesn't have one moral bone in her body, fornicated her way into public office with Willie Brown. She was a lousy vice president. She was a lousy senator. She was a horrible attorney general in California. She has been horrible at anything and everything she's ever tried. But people don't have the guts to say something against a half-black woman. And the people that are, oh my gosh, it's nauseating. I want to leave this country if she wins. Or just go to some state that gets the heck out of here. I don't know. Well, I won't do it unless God tells me. But I said if she is flailing to bolster her, Obama would come out. She is not flailing, according to the media. I think she is flailing. They just keep trying to bump her up, which is why they keep doubling down on how great she is, why various media things are now censoring and editing videotapes of her 8 million gaffes and un-American stupidity propositions that she has made over the years. The other thing I said would cause him to come out and endorse her would be if she doesn't flail, but you give him a week or two. Because, like I said, he needed to distance himself from her. You couldn't have the talk about, you couldn't have Biden say, oh, we're going to have, my full blessing, pass it on to Kamala Harris here. And then 2 minutes later, Obama out there extolling her virtues, of which she has no virtues, lauding and praising her. Talk about the Peter principle having risen to your level of incompetence. She's a defining concept in that whole statement. But he didn't have to do that. And not having to do that, he did what I said he'd do. He'd wait a week or two and then come out and endorse her. See, the left is so easy to predict. So when Harris the other day says Trump and Vance are not loyal to the U.S. There's no loyalty to the U.S. You don't even need to hear what Trump and Vance said. You immediately know that Kamala Harris is incredibly disloyal. She is, like Biden, he and she are everything that they accuse others of. You don't even have to research it. Oh, my gosh. Well, moving on. You know, I don't want to spend any more time on this Olympic blasphemy. Forget the Olympics. Other than, if you didn't see it, I make it quick. They parodied the Last Supper, replacing Jesus Christ and the disciples with a fat drag queen and a child who presumably is the groomee by the groomer. One person says, why do the global elite love pagan and satanic occult symbolism? It's blasphemy. It is. In other words, drag queens, decapitated heads, and a blue smurf man with a bulge. What's going on? Well, what's going on is Satan is coming out from behind the curtain. He thinks it's safe to push it and push it hard. He's enraged. He's got... This is how I think we're close to the end, because he's enraged. He's got little time to work. The scripture says that. Knowing that he has little time to work, he works furiously and he's enraged. And just how demonic are the Democrats? A House passes a resolution condemning Harris as an abject failure at the border. They pass it. See, there is a slight majority in the House of Republicans. But six Democrats joined the Republicans. They said, you know what? I'm not going to die on that woman's watch. I'm not going to die on that hill. Stick it to her. Forget it. I am not going down that path and following the Democrat line, Democrat line, about how she's been great on all this stuff. And no, she wasn't really the border czar. That's what they're covering up now, that she never was really appointed the border czar. She was, and she never denied it. Then this woman makes a guest appearance on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars and pushing trags, queers, trannies to be sure and register to vote for the defender of all things demonic. There's your Kamala Harris. I mean, she got mocked. People writing it said, this is grotesque. This is cringy. The drag race appearance, and she's there defending it, loving it, lauding it. You know, I sort of hope she keeps pushing it, because she is surrounded by leftist weenies and queer wackos, and she that's what she draws out. So as she feeds that crowd, maybe she's actually slitting her own throat at what she says to come back and haunt her. Now, she's being extremely careful now, and she's only reading from script. So people say, look, all right, your day of freedom, your day of being stupid and immoral have to be over. You need to follow the script just like we were writing them for Joe Biden. Yep, you got to follow this, because we have to fake it like you somehow have some brains and some measure of morality. Well, the only thing she didn't mention here the last time is the mandatory gun buyback. This is the one, to me, that sits at the top of the list. And I'm going to go back 11 years. There are some people listening to this program, been listening for 11 years. I have said routinely, not lately, but routinely, that there is one thing that will tip the scale in favor of secession and states leaving this country and saying, screw it, we're going to take our guns and ammo and we're going to leave. And it is a mandatory gun buyback. The exact thing she said she supports. Mandatory, which is what? Mandatory gun back. Let's give it what it is. Gun confiscation. We'll pay you for it. We'll pay you what we think it's worth, and we will take it from you. And if you don't, we'll arrest you. That's what she supports. She got the stupid idea from some lame brains in Australia that passed that idiotic bill. And the mainstream media is trying to erase that clip. Fortunately, enough people have it. I mean, this woman has such a horrible past, so many horrible remarks. So the question is, so what's the difference here? What is the difference between Trump getting decimated and Vance getting decimated by things that they have said? And we're going to cover some of those things, is that they've done some bad things. And Kamala Harris. Why? Well, the difference is that the left owns the media. They're covering for this rag from San Francisco. I mean, John Bolton, who's no friend of Donald Trump. In fact, they have some distance between them. But it's gotten so bad, he's sort of defending the Republican candidate here. And he said Benjamin Netanyahu should be very worried about Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris hates Jews just as much as Barack Obama hated Jews. Joe Biden was too stupid to know what he was hating. But Obama was a Jew hater. Harris is a Jew hater. We know by the people that they've appointed that they're both Jew haters, anti-Semites at the at the top of their game. The difference is Obama needed Jewish money back in 2008 and 2012, and he faked it, and the media covered for him, and why so many Jews still voted for him is still mind-boggling. But, as I was saying last week, they have become increasingly emboldened with what they can say and get away with. And so what Bolton was saying was, if you just look at the body language between Harris and Netanyahu, let me quote him. He says, quote, "She was icy, very icy in her demeanor, showing strong discipline to basically not lose it. Her words were a clear signal." Continuing the quote, he said, "Harry Truman should be turning in his grave now." Now, I got to explain why he's saying that. Harry Truman was a Democrat, but an old line Democrat. You know, he supported labor and stuff like that. Fine. That was the difference. And the Republicans were mostly the capitalists. Well, today, the CEOs are mostly Democrats, and the workers have now become the Republicans. Republicans have become actually the working class party. It's why they're making so many inroads into the Hispanic and black communities. Is here you got the billionaire, Trump, who bonds with people who are scrapping to make a living. Well, Harry Truman considered his greatest contribution to humanity, his greatest act of a president, is being in the office of president when Israel was established in May of 1948, and he lent his authority to it, his support to it, his praise to it. Okay, now that you know that the establishment of the State of Israel was Harry Truman, I mean, he didn't do it single-handedly, of course, but his participation he considered to be his greatest act. Now, listen to the entirety of Bolton's statement. "Harry Truman should be turning in his grave now because the Democratic Party's very special relationship with Israel, I think, has disappeared. And I think a Harris administration would be a whole different world in U.S.-Israeli relations." And why? Because she's going for the Muslim and the Palestinian vote. And there are enough of them in this country, she thinks it makes a difference. Well, if that ends up sending more Jews over to the right, goodness sakes, it's about time. Oh, boy. Well, I don't want you to think that Harris is out of this race. She clearly could win this. And she could win it for a couple of reasons. One I'm going to save towards the end. But first of all, the media covers for her. They will erase her past. And combining the media's covering for her, we have a lot of young people who do not have the time or will not take the time to vet anybody. They just work with platitudes, and working with a crappy left-wing education they got from crappy universities are going to vote for this ne'er-do-well, absolutely maniacal, cackling hyena-based candidate called Kamala Harris. But the fact of the matter is, as deeply flawed as she is, and she's horrific, the Republican National Convention, and indeed Trump's the assassination attempt, did not move the dial much for Trump. There was no bump at all from the convention. Not perceptible. Or, and this is possible, we get liars for pollsters, because pollsters are dominated by the left, and they frame questions in a way that will elicit the response that they want. They don't reflect public opinion as much as they try to create public opinion with the way they frame their questions. A few are reliable, Pew, Rasmussen. But the fact of the matter is, we got people who don't study, who don't vet candidates. They just listen to this stuff on the whatever news networks or podcasts they get. The drivel that comes out of the administration from the left, and all the elements of the media she could win legitimately because a media has influenced people. And for that, we get the government we deserve, and it's probably over for the United States. Next possibility, of course, is that they cheat. They're great at stealing, cheating, killing. Satan came, to steal, kill, and destroy? So guess who works for the devil? The stealers, the killers, the destroyers on this planet, in this country. But okay, now we get to the third reason Harris could win. There was a Babylon Bee piece about a month ago that said something that struck me for its... It wasn't funny. It was the reality of it that struck me because I was thinking the same thing. And it was, Republicans are working hard to blow another election. Another one, Republicans are trying to close the gap on their lead. In other words, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. Now, I want to go over to J.D. Vance for a second. More than just a second here, because this is really, really important. I'm going to quote John Bolton again here, actually. He's been pretty outspoken here on both sides kind of the fence. But did Trump pick the right man? All I can say at this point is I hope so. I like him. I like him a lot. However, and these are huge howevers, he has said some horrific things which cannot be denied on the record about Trump. In other words, the left, to have effective campaign ads, actually do not have to make up anything. Now, I think he was pushed on Donald by Don Jr. And you know my pick all along, I think it should have been Ramaswamy. But do I like J.D. Vance? Yeah, I like him. Do I think he was the best pick? At this point, for me, the jury's out. And right now, I would kind of lean towards no, as much as I like him. Because his past, he has written he's written half of the campaign ads for the Democrats. And Donald Trump lately is busy writing the other half of the campaign ads for the Democrats. So let's go to John Bolton here for a second. John, take it away. No. There are some things that are true or arguably true, but they don't need to be said. And Trump is famous for this, and we'll get to that probably after the break. But if you think back, what was one of the things that just turned a lot of people off towards Hillary Clinton? What was it? Is when she called an enormous segment of America a basket of deplorables. She couldn't escape that. She had no defense for it. She had no way to spin it other than to just say it's true and trust that the deplorables were in a distinct enough minority that the enlightened ones who worshipped Hillary would prevail. Huge mistake. J.D. Vance made an unforced error when he referred to childless cat ladies. I'm not all sure exactly what he meant by that, but it isn't good, certainly not complimentary, and it was totally and completely unnecessary. Don't go away. Robin Walder, The Robin Walder Show, here on Red Sky Radio. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Oh, I love that song. Ah, Cat Mother and the All Night Newsboys. Why did I play that one? Because of J.D. Vance's childless cat lady's comment. I thought I'd get the Cat Mother and the All Night Newsboys. Bought the album. That's how old I am. Gave it to my younger brother, and now he won't give it back to me. No, I don't do that. So anyway, an unforced error. Childless cat ladies. Basket of deplorables. They're in the same group. Same grouping here. Okay. Next. New York Times digs up a bunch of old emails from J.D. Vance to his classmate where he is attacking. Well, I just got to read you the quote. These are verifiable. They're old anti-Trump texts and emails. Old, but they're 8 or 9 years ago. Not that old. It's just that he was about 30, and he's, what, 39 now? They're old to him. They aren't old to a lot of us. We're a lot older in 8 or 9 years. It's just not going back that far. But the fact of the matter is every single one of these are a campaign ad for the Democrats. In one of these communications, and this is verified, Vance called Trump, quote, a morally reprehensible human being. And that was apparently written to one of Vance's classmates at Yale Law School who was a tranny going by the name of Sophia Nelson. And, I mean, it was as a friend. So he's hanging out with trannies. I'm not saying you'd just go around and punch him in the face, but apparently it was open to it. I mean, as one Fox said, you know, provides an insight into his cultural willingness by Mr. Vance to accept his classmate, Sophia Nelson, as a transgender. So he had that degree of accommodation to some extent. Now, later on, he goes on to say that this all changed when he got married and then started having children. Well, okay, I did not have to get married and start having children to get some brains about that. That came to me a lot earlier. I'm quoting Winston Churchill that if you weren't not a liberal at age 20, you have no heart. But if by the age of 30, you're not a conservative, then that means you have no brains. So anyway, so they were, and these messages are in 2014 to 2017. You see, from 7 to 10 years ago, that just isn't really that long ago. And they were friends all the way up until just a couple years ago, until he started, supported the Arkansas ban on tranny affirming care. In other words, he upheld the ban on child mutilation for minors. And in 2014, he had some remarks about, disparaging remarks about the police after the death of Michael Brown. And in one of the emails or texts that they got a hold of, you see his old classmates who agreed with him, who now don't agree with him, feel free to release these text messages and emails. He said in this one, I hate the, quote, I hate the police. Given the number of negative experiences I've had in the past few years, I can't imagine what a black guy goes through. I'm obviously outraged at Trump's rhetoric, and I worry most of all about welcoming Muslim citizens and how welcome they will feel in their own country. I think that some people always have believed this crazy S word. And he goes on into some profanity here. I mean, not hardcore profanity, but... And he later apologizes for calling his tranny classmate a lesbian. Sorry, I offended you. He went on to say in another email, quote, "The more white people feel like voting for Trump, the more black people will suffer. I really believe that," end quote. So the spokesman for Vance just says, well, we're unfortunate that these people have chose to lead a decade-old private conversation. Wait a second. That's your defense, how you're going to spin this? It's 10 years old, and somebody decided to leak a private conversation as though what he was saying at that time wasn't true? And so the Republicans are now trying to deflect. All they can do is deflect. They can't cover it up. The left can cover it up by not publishing stuff. They just won't publish it. They'll deny it, and then there won't be any mouthpiece out there to prove it otherwise, other than maybe Newsmax and on occasion Fox. Well, let me see. If that's the only defense you have, is this is a decades old and a friend decided to leak it, that's your defense? It's old and somebody dared to tell the truth of what happened? That's your defense? We're going to chastise somebody for... I'm sorry, I don't buy that. Now, is it possible that he was picked too hastily? Yes. I understand he had this metamorphosis politically, but this just isn't that long ago. Do I think he's truly changed? Yes, I do. I absolutely do. I hope we can pull it off with him as a candidate, but I'm not so sure. It's not that long ago. I mean, and you know what? I wish I had it here. It just came to my mind. You can write me. Tell me what the passage is I'm trying to get at here. RedSkyRadio777@gmail.com. It's a passage in Scripture. It's definitely in the New Testament that talks about not two of them, really. One, not too hastily laying hands on new believers, but the other one, not to promote young men too quickly into the positions of deacons, because they may be swelled up with pride and say some stupid things, do some stupid things, or the pride will cause them to not behave as they would, because that's what pride does. And so that passage came to my mind here as I'm doing this piece. I wish I had it, had the biblical. The one about not laying hands too hastily on new believers, I think, is from 1 Timothy chapter 5. The other one, I can't remember what it is. It would be in one of the books dealing with the qualifications of deacons and elders, which would be in Titus and, I think, one of 1 or 2 Corinthians. And I could be wrong on that one. But did they move too hastily? Did they not vet him well enough or deeply enough? Because you wouldn't want these things on TV. So, the question I have, if he's not sufficiently vetted, should he withdraw? Should he pull out in favor of somebody who has no baggage? And I'm coming back to Ramaswamy again. I'm just not sure they can pull this off. Now, if they're going to do it, and there's some talk that Trump might yank him, I understand why he picked him. I just think he maybe did it too quickly. without a complete vetting, falling into the same trap that he did when he was president the first time around, taking the recommendations of people, and you end up with Christopher Wray, James Comey, you know, all the people who were recommended to him. And because the people who were making the recommendations were really nice, Trump got snookered and he fell for that crap. That's why I said in a program about a month ago, the best Trump could be is having Joe Biden in between Trump's first and second term, because Trump now understands that he cannot get snookered like this. He can't believe everybody. He has got to really, really double down on the vetting process, or he's going to end up with deep state crooks. And the left knows that Trump is wiser to it, and that's why the left is pulling out all stops. I mean, over the top lying and smearing to get him. The lawfare, the warfare, the lies, the corruption. They've got to get him because they know Trump is wiser now. And so what did he do? I think he probably now said, well, who can I trust? Don Jr. I can trust. And maybe he didn't do all the vetting himself or enough of it. And he relied on somebody who maybe he thought he could rely on just without any qualification, and maybe Don Jr. didn't quite find out what was in the backyard, what was on the back burner that the left can pull out and use against the Republicans, using their own words against them in ads. And I think they could do it really effectively. Now, if he does withdraw, he has to own it. Vance has to say, you know what, I am not that person anymore, but I think I'm damaging the campaign, and the campaign is bigger than I am. He's got to be a man, own up, and not be swelled up with pride and say, I own this. I am different. I am not that guy. Did I say those things? Yeah, I did. But because the left is turning this into a haymaker against Trump, for the benefit of the party, but most of all for the benefit of the country, I need to withdraw. I don't know if he should do that, but I can tell you if he does do it, he needs to do it relatively quickly, but not right now. I think he needs to see what happens and if he's made mincemeat of at the Democratic National Convention. And if they are successful driving him out, so be it. Then bring in Ramaswamy, and guess what? The DNC then does not have a convention to smash Ramaswamy. And guess what? Ramaswamy does not have baggage. Not like Vance. So I hope he can pull it off. But I think he may need to withdraw. Oh, boy. Anyway, he's a good man, but maybe he's more valuable as a senator. So, that is half of the ticket writing the ads for the Democrats. The other half writing the tickets for the Democrats would be Donald Trump. And I'm just going to have to lay it on the line because he's doing some stupid stuff. These are the things they're going to say during the DNC. And he can't pull out. Maybe Vance can, and they could pull it off. I don't know. But so Trump is on Fox News. I'm just going to kind of go through these things. And this is last Thursday. He said, quote, "My instruction, we don't need the votes. I have so many votes." That's what Trump said on Fox and Friends, about going on this kind of rant about how much support he has in Florida. Well, great, Donald, that you can win Florida. If you can't win Florida, you lose. If you can't win Florida, you're going to probably lose about 40 other states. But why on earth is he saying something this stupid, such prideful and boastful? "My instruction, we don't need the votes. I have so many votes." This is ignoramusville. I don't know. Before I go on to actually the yet more stupid thing, was when he came out and said, before he said this, and before the next thing I'm going to tell you about, he came out and said, it will be so easy to beat Kamala Harris. It'll be so easy. Well, let's just get swelled up with a little more pride, Donald. Did you not learn anything getting shot? Did the humility only last for a week? Are you trying to do everything possible to lose this election? It sure sounds like it and seems like it. And then we get, oh my gosh, we get to the piece where he's addressing a bunch of conservatives, Christians, I might add. And I have to quote. Now, the Republicans are saying, the spinmeisters are saying, that he was just kidding. How could he say something like this if he wasn't kidding? I don't know, but probably because Trump does two things that are negatives. One, he talks way too long. He talks way too much. Take these hour and a half speeches and trim them down to 20 or 30 minutes. And don't go off script. Don't wander around. And number two, don't say stupid stuff. And maybe if you have more of a script, it won't be such stupid stuff. Here's the quote. He's at the Turning Point Action Believers Summit in West Palm Beach. But he doesn't seem to realize that the crowd is bigger than the people in the room. The whole world is listening. The left is certainly listening. He said, I don't care how. Now, this part is correct, and I support this. I don't care how, but you have to get out and vote. Christians, get out and vote. Just this time. What does that mean? Quote, you won't have to do it anymore. 4 more years. You know what? It will be fixed. I love you, Christians. I'm a Christian. I love you. Get out. You got to get out and vote. In 4 years, you don't have to vote again. We'll have it fixed so good, you're not going to have to vote. Do you know what he just did? He wrote the campaign ad for the Democrats to prove that he's a dictator or wants to be a dictator. How do you spin this any other way? The people, the conservatives, say, look, it was obvious he was kidding. So what? He said it. And that's what's going to get broadcast. And they're going to, people, independents are going to say, oh my goodness, the left is right. Not the left is right, the left is wrong, but they're correct about this. I don't think he wants to be a dictator. He said he'd be it on day one, but he said this really, really stupid stuff. Now, he went on to say some things that were true. He said, Christians, you don't vote proportionately, which Trump often, he bickers about this on the campaign, because it is true. Christians sit on their derriere, their fat butt, most of the time and just think, let somebody else do it. And then guess what? We get the government we deserve. He said, quote, I don't want to scold you, but do you know that Christians do not vote proportionately? Well, of course, they don't. You take the number of so-called Christians in this country, and what proportion do they make up of the people who actually vote? Less than they should, proportionately. Oh, boy. So, I mean, the left is just saying, Trump is obviously alluding to never leaving the White House. See? He admitted it. Those are the ads on that'll be on TV. They're already showing up. We'll hear it over and over and over again at the DNC. All you can hope is that there's some humongous riot that breaks out in the street, and the thing is dislodged by Palestinians, and it turns into 1968 Chicago all over again. While the campaign came out, released a statement that's clarifying what the former president might have meant with his message to Christian voters. His campaign suggested he was talking about the importance of faith and uniting the country and bringing prosperity, all of which doesn't relate one crapola bit to what he actually said. Because you can't spin it. I don't care. You could say I was kidding, and maybe he was. I'd like to think he was. Oh, gosh. Well, all right. I got to wrap this up, but I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. I hope Harris actually does surge enormously in the polls. Three reasons why. Number one, the polls don't mean crap. Like I said, they form the questions to create opinion, not to reflect opinion. They don't mean anything. I mean, look at what happened in the last two elections. You got Hillary Clinton thought she had it in the bag. She thought she had it in the bag so much that she didn't have to cheat. And so what happened? She was so confident and displayed that confidence to the left. The left didn't think they had to get their fannies out there and vote. And Trump won. Trump, not learning anything from Hillary in 2020, the conservatives, Trump, everybody think they have it in the bag. A lot of Christians, but a lot of conservatives didn't go to the polls because they thought it was going to be a waste of time because Trump had it in the bag. So they thought. The same mistake, two elections in a row, won by each party. Like I said, the polls don't mean diddly squat. So here's why I want Harris to surge in the polls. Once again, I want an extreme overconfidence by the Democrats. So much so that they get lazy and they decide they just need to, or that they can afford to sit on their derriere. They don't have to vote. And maybe the forces of cheating don't have to be fully engaged to win this one. It's slam dunk. Harris has got this in the bag. And that's what they're going to tell us. Because the left knows that most of the people in this country these days are lemmings. They want to follow a leader. They want to follow a winner. Why do people support for so long the New England Patriots? Because they were Boston fans? No. They liked a winner. The Yankees, they like a winner. They want to be known as somebody who's side. They're really smart. And the way they reveal their smartness and their intelligence is that they can side with a winner because they have the insight to identify a winner. And that sort of puts them in that elite status. Number two, I want the Republicans to get desperate. I want them to be scared out of their wits. I want them to pull out all stops, spend all the money in the coffers to do this, to get voters out. I want them scared. I want them so scared of Kamala Harris that they are tugging and dragging by the suspenders or underwear or whatever is available to grab onto their neighbors to get them to the poll, to get them to vote with a message that this is life and death for this country. And if it's life or if it's death for this country, it's death for our children and our grandchildren. This is that important because I know it's said every single election. Every election, people say, this is the most important election in the history of the U.S. And you know what? In 2016, it was. It really was. And in 2020, it really was. People say, oh, they say that every time. Well, each time the severity gets worse. You go from Jimmy Carter to Bill Clinton to Barack Hussein Obama to Joe O'Biden, Obama 2.0 to Kamala Harris, O'Biden, Obama, O'Biden 3.0. I mean, I will tell you, hell is just so increasingly comfortable lodged in the White House and in the halls of Congress and in the deep state. I mean, it is. This is more important than the last one. The last one was more important than the one before. And one of the points here, it just is over. We won't get a do-over. That's why I want the polls to show a surge for Kamala Harris. Now, some of it might actually reflect an opinion of losers and independents, people sitting on the fence that they got to join the party, and kind of like 2008, everybody became Obama fans because it was supposedly cool, and you would never admit being a Romney fan or a McCain fan. And guess what? I didn't admit to being a Romney or McCain fan either. But this time around, I don't think the human nature changes. So you go surge, Cammie, because I really hope, Father, you give us not the leader we deserve, but the one that you have appointed, the one to restore morality in this country, the one who is a Cyrus to the Jews, the one who is Israel's best friend in the White House that they've ever had since Harry Truman. Father, please do that. And for us, we need to sit tall in the saddle and ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God see you. Good see you next week.